have economist and data analyst from WEWI, Robert Lipschitz. Robert, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. How are you doing, Howard?
I am doing well, thank you. The line is not a brilliant one. I'm going to ask you to try and speak up. It's clear, but it's actually just quite soft. So if you could speak up, that would be great. So I came across a dashboard that you had prepared based on COVID-19 in New York. I found it really, really fascinating. Will you just give us a high-level finding before we talk about dashboards and data in general?
Okay, sure. So basically what we did was to take the latest data out of New York City, which comes from the official, you know, city of New York, the state of New York, the CDC, and use that data to estimate what the fatality risks are based on your age and your health profile. And I guess that, you know, there are basically two fundamental inputs into how we derive the fatality rates. And those two inputs are, first of all, well, the number of people that died within the different ages and the different health profiles.
Right.
And for that we've got excellent data, although there's what to talk about there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, it's the second piece of crucial data is the result of the 15,000 person random study, the random antibody study, which came out of New York state on the 2nd of May.
Right.
And what that study showed was that about 20% of New York City had been infected.
Wow.
Had already been infected.
Right.
And basically at about the 8th of May, which is a few days later, there were 19,809 deaths in New York City. Those deaths include, for a moment, both people who had COVID-19 when they died, but also people who didn't have COVID-19 when they died, but the doctors believed that they nevertheless did die of COVID-19.
Right.
And that was about 5,000 of the 19, let's call it 20,000.
Okay.
So there were about 20,000 deaths.
Right.
15,000 of which were probable deaths,
right,
probable COVID deaths,
right,
and there was a citywide infection rate of 20%. And basically, if you take the New York population, which is where the New York population is 8.3 million, 20% of that is 1.6 million people.
Wow.
So if you take so the random study suggested that 1.6 million people had been infected in New York City.
Right.
And if you take the 20,000 and you divide it by the 1.6 million, so you're taking the number of people that have died and you divide it
by the number of people that
creates a citywide infection fatality rate of 1.2%.
Right.
And that's really the start. And then what the study does is it says, okay, well, how are those deaths distributed across different age and health profiles? And that's really where it gets, you know, even more interesting. Because there are massive differences in how the fatality rate, in the fatality rate between those different ages and health profiles.
So and what does it and what does it reflect?
Sorry, so can you ask again?
Yeah. So what does that show in terms of the different ages and the different conditions?
Right. So I mean, I think overall, with a 1.2% fatality rate, I think the point to make is that, well, that does imply that 98.8% of everyone survives.
Right.
But when it comes to people who would be considered healthy, which means that they don't have a serious underlying illness,
right,
that goes up to 99.98%. So only 0.02% of people who
are
didn't
healthy.
Have a serious underlying, who are healthy, let's say,
right,
and and we specify what those serious underlying illness or conditions are, right, on the dashboard, but only about 0.02% of those people, that's the fatality rate, which is extremely low, and would be comparable to everyday risks that people take all the time. And I think what's also worth pointing out is that that remains true across different age groups. So if you're healthy, no matter how old you are, the chances of this being a problem are very, very low. Of course, the counter to that is that the burden of the illness is felt mostly on the unhealthy, and especially those who are old and unhealthy. So for instance, out of the 20,000,
so that increases the risk of those people, or the numbers around fatalities on people that are unhealthy, because if you look at the average, it swayed towards people that do have these underlying illnesses.
Exactly. So, and it's quite a big sway. So for instance, if you're under 18 years old and don't have any health conditions, well, basically no one died in that category, which I think is quite, you know, I mean, it might be different in different areas.
Yes.
But, you know, so for young, healthy children, there's, well, from the study we did, the formal conclusion is there's no risk. But obviously, you know, in other countries, in other areas, there might have been a few. But when it comes to being 75 and over, if you've got an underlying condition, so your risk raises to 11%.
Right.
I mean, I think that does.
So it's interesting, you know, if we extrapolate that, and Jenny's asking that question, one of our listeners saying, how does Robbie think the statistics would differ in South Africa with so many people having comorbidities such as HIV, AIDS, and tuberculosis? Obviously, that would be a massive factor, given that those types of incidences are very low in New York.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's a few points in how you would try to, say, expand this outwards in terms of taking personal lessons from it and also policy lessons for a country. I think the first thing to say is that the kind of overall 1.2%, which is the kind of crucial number of on which everything else then kind of gathers around, so to speak, all the age groups.
Right.
And I think what is important to say is that these findings are similar out of Spain, they're similar out of Italy, they're similar out of China. The impact on old and unhealthy is large, but the percentage of people who are healthy, and especially young and healthy, who have this is minute. And so that particular statement, that particular finding is pretty solidly repeated throughout the world. Insofar as which comorbidities have a negative effect, we don't have data which can kind of split that out. I mean, they list a whole bunch of comorbidities or serious underlying health issues which have been associated with COVID deaths. There has not been any data to date which suggests that HIV or even TB are two comorbidities which have a particular issue. So I understand that there would be a kind of caution. Well, perhaps they will. Perhaps the data just doesn't yet exist. But in terms of what little data there is out there, there is nothing at the moment to suggest that HIV people, I mean, especially people who are on antiretrovirals.
Yeah. There does seem to be a feeling that it works the opposite because of the antiretrovirals. But these are just anecdotal reports. We don't know. There's not enough data at this stage to really know for sure.
Right. And I think what's also important is the only data that we can use is data from countries which have done these random testing studies, because that's the only way that we have an idea as to what portion of the population is infected.
Right.
And so there's probably about 10-15 random testing studies out there, probably more, but about 10 or 15 that we've seen. And the fatality rates in New York, and the ones therefore that we focused on in this tracker, are at the high end. They're the highest. When you go to a country like France, it drops to under 1%. Spain is about 1.1, so that's similar. Mm-hmm. But then you've got other tests, like in the state of Indiana, which is suggesting a 0.5% fatality rate. You've got studies out of Santa Clara, which are suggesting a 0.2% fatality rate. So we do have a range of about 0.2% fatality to about 1.1. I think that 1.2, or you could say 1.2. So 0.2 to 1.2 is kind of the range that we're talking about. We're not talking 1.2 to 3.5.
Right, right.
And so probably we'll come somewhere in the middle. But we don't know. But I think that is important to bear in mind. And I think just one more point for your listeners to bear in mind if they are looking at the dashboard.
Right. And that is which, that with your permission, I'm going to share on our social media platforms. I haven't shared it yet, but I will share it if you're comfortable with us doing that.
Yeah, sure. It's for public consumption. Great. But the 75 and older category, where we said there's an 11% fatality risk if you've got an underlying condition, which most people over 75 do have. I mean, in New York, I think it's something like 85% of people over 75 have an underlying condition. But nevertheless, if you had to split that up between 75 to 80-year-olds and 80 to 85-year-olds and 85 to 90-year-olds and plus 90, a lot of death happened in the categories above 80 years old. So we don't have that kind of fine split of the data, right. But I think that is something to bear in mind, that it's likely to be more heavily, the burden will be more heavily placed on those who are much older.
Right.
In that 75 to 90 year old category.
Interesting indeed. We don't have a lot of time. In fact, we've only got a minute left. I want to ask you about where we. So that is your initiative. That is your company. And it's a data analysis.
Right. We basically provide data analytics, dashboarding services to companies. We've been around for a few years, and it's been fun so far.
Incredible.
So yeah.
And of course, this is one of the most interesting areas at the moment, is as we collect all of this incredible amount of data from all of the businesses that we might be involved in. The question is, how do we interpret it, and what do we want to do with it? And I guess a dashboard is the perfect way to consolidate it and to say, okay, well, what is it that I need to know about my customers or my clients or industry in general, and how do I make some kind of a sense of it? And that's what you guys are doing.
Right. I mean, I think this particular event, which is a massive event from a kind of epidemiological perspective, but also from an economic perspective, mm-hmm. it's going to create a whole kind of flowering of study over the next few decades as to exactly what happened in the last 3 months in the world economically.
Absolutely.
and from a virus perspective, and the amount of data that's out there is unprecedented in our history. So I think there's going to be a whole bunch of study and a whole bunch of insights which are going to really last for years and years to come.
Absolutely right. We will certainly keep following that up and chat to you again. Very interesting indeed. That's economist and data analyst from Robbie or Robert Lutschitz. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. It is 7:31.